Adventure 4 or Rendell and the rest of the party rode along in relative silence for the better part of the day. As night began falling, the group entered into a forested region and decided to set up camp for the night. Sid prepared to start a fire, while others gathered firewood and helped set up the tents that had been found in the hangar. While out gathering firewood, Orendel saw a fire in the distance. When he spread the information to the others, the fledgling fire that Sid had just started was quickly smothered. Paranoia and suspicion were running high, as everyone ate their meals in silence and turned to their tent or bedroll for rest. Zoltan, oddly enough, chose to sleep in the tank itself. A watch was set in case of pursuit or dangerous fauna. The night passed. Then, while Orendel sat at his watch, a patch of darkness on top of the tank suddenly materialized into a person. Zoltan had heard the person Orendel had just spotted and was quickly scrambling for his gun, as a figure climbed into the tank with him. Firing a warning shot, Zoltan woke everyone Orendel had failed to get to. "Stop," called out a high feminine voice from the shadow figure. Flashlights quickly revealed a striking golden-haired female Arsimer. She was a fellow prisoner by her orange jumper and explained that she just wanted a place to sleep. She had seen the tank earlier and thought it might be warmer than the cold ground. Whether the group's paranoia had lessened somewhat by now, or her obvious attractiveness had swayed them in other ways, she was accepted and given a place to sleep, as everyone again retired to their respective beds. The next morning the Arsimer, Banrak by name, found herself questioned by Milo. She had been running for several days now. Most of the prisoners fled south to a city only a day or so away. Figuring that would be the first place searched, she instead fled north towards Kar, a city far to the north. With the hover tank, however, they could likely get there within a few days. Accepting her story, the party then had to figure out how everyone was going to fit within the hover tank. Alejandra was still riding in Sid's pocket, but Pankra was forced to ride on the roof, and the insides were cramped, as it were. The problem was quickly resolved when Orendel volunteered to ride with Pankra on the roof. The camp was packed up, and with Zoltan in the pilot's seat, the group set out for the city of Kar. Zoltan set into driving with abandon, jerking the wheel back and forth with wild abandon. Before real protest could start among the passengers, a knock came from the entry hatch. It was Bankra. "Your little elf friend fell off a few paces back." Zoltan reversed and picked up Orendel before setting off a somewhat more sensible route. North the party rode and quickly approached Kar. Eventually Milo flipped on the radio and began searching through the stations. Zoltan paused him for a second on a Hard Rock station before Milo settled onto a news broadcast. The prison break was all over the news, as was the fact that roadblocks were being set up around the cities closest to the prison. Even Kar. Prisoners weren't really expected to go that far, one official was noted for saying, but a roadblock was set for safety's sake. Obviously the hover tank couldn't be driven into town, especially with roadblocks set up. The decision of what to do with the tank was debated back and forth, before it was finally decided to ditch it with indications that it was heading in a different direction. Heading off in a northeastern direction, the group rode until the tank's no fuel supplies forced them to land it. Hiding it in some thick foliage, the party began the long trek north. After a few hours of thinning forest, a large highway quickly came into view. Again debate broke out among the group, this time about whether hitchhiking or walking would be a better choice. Flying up via magic, Sid ascertained that the way was clear, so that everyone could cross the highway. From there they began to walk, hoping that putting as much distance from the prison would help conceal them. They walked for a ways, until a bus heading towards Kar rounded a bend in the road. Most of the party hid, but Sid was caught hovering in the open. At the sight of him the bus stopped, as several tourists began to take pictures of him. Figuring his cover was already blown, Sid simply approached the bus and asked to book passage into Kar. Slowly, the rest of the party emerged, each one causing the bus passenger's eyes to open a little wider. Of particular interest was Bankra, who caused several gasps from the crowd. Zoltan and Sid quickly concocted a story between them about a failed hunting expedition, insults flying between them as they went. The bus driver just nodded dully, as money was lent to those who could not afford passage. Riding along, the party listened to the radio and discussed what should be done about the coming roadblocks. They didn't have long to talk, as the bus was soon stopped in the massive traffic jam that was entering into the city. Standing, the party again gave a hastily concocted story about living outside the city and saving time by simply walking there. Exiting the bus en masse, the party walked north for a ways before entering into the city of Kar through an unguarded route. As the party entered the city, it was decided that splitting up would be for the best. Several smaller groups would draw less attention than one large group. Razal quickly excused himself and left on his own. Bankra revealed that she planned on meeting some friends here. Together they planned on returning to Afax to help a few other prisoners escape. Zoltan accompanied Bankra to the Red Salamander, where she was supposed to meet her friends. Sid and Alejandra, who was still riding in his pocket being too weak to fly, teamed up with the Banrak and set off to find a hotel to stay at. Orendel and Milo likewise teamed up and mimicked Sid and company, soon taking rooms in a local hotel. Pancras and Zoltan quickly began asking about the Red Salamander and found to their surprise that there were two in town. Well, the Red Salamander Inn was located at the northern edge of town. The other, the Red Salamander Tavern, was at the southwestern corner. Deciding the tavern was closer, Zoltan and Pancras made their way north and entered the Red Salamander Tavern. Unless the prisoners were meeting in a gay bar, the Red Salamander Inn was not the place where Pancras was meeting her friends. Quickly leaving, they began to trudge south towards the Red Salamander Tavern. As they walked, the area began to get worse, soon degrading into dangerous-looking slums. As Zoltan entered into the tavern, he noticed that he was the only human in the room. Pancras passed inside without a problem, but Zoltan found himself stopped by a large ogre. No humans. Get out. The ogre didn't seem very smart, but he was very effective. Zoltan found himself alone and outside rapidly. Meanwhile, Sid, Alejandra, and Pancras had found rooms, as had Milo and Orendo. Milo and Orendo dropped what equipment they possessed before heading out to several stores throughout the city, spending what cash they could to buy supplies. Alejandra and Pancras did the same, after they each had taken a shower. Sid, on the other hand, went off to the hotel's pool for a relaxing swim. Swimming back and forth, he quickly felt his concerns ease as he swam about. Milo and Orendo went hunting about stores looking for gear that would help the group survive on this world. Milo picked up a number of maps as well as some tools and some other knickknacks. Alejandra bought a pair of magical protective braces, made specifically for a fairy. And Pancras bought a dress that was eye-catching. It wasn't exactly hideous, nor was it scandalous, but something about the suit just seemed to scream, "Look at me." "People won't expect an escaped prisoner to wear something like this," she explained. Not giving up so easily, Zoltan decided to try to enter through the back this time. As he moved around the side, however, he heard a strange voice. "Hey man. Give me some money, man. Get out of here." "I don't have any money," shouted Zoltan. "Do you think I'm that stupid, man? No one could have all that gear, those weapons, without having money, man." Zoltan protested some more about his lack of money, but the frog creature was insistent. The conversation seemed to be going downhill when Zoltan shot the creature in the foot with his blaster. "When my boss at the Red Salamander hears what you did, what do you know about the Red Salamander? How much money are you going to give me? How much are you going to give me?" Zoltan snapped back. "What are you talking about? What are you talking about?" Zoltan came back with again. Zoltan's unorthodox method of questioning quickly disoriented the frog. With the frog distracted, Zoltan ran off. Soon, Zoltan found himself wandering aimlessly through back alleys and slums. Suddenly, a familiar voice came from behind him. "I thought you would be here, man. Do you have any money now?" That stupid frog had followed him. Again, any chance of a peaceful resolution quickly broke down, and when the creature pulled out a phone and began to dial a number, Zoltan blew his phone away. "When my boss hears about this, he's going to be mad, man." Again Zoltan left the frog standing there, a hole in foot and phone, now. Sid meanwhile had finally gotten out of the pool and had ordered room service. Along with it, he obtained the temporary services of a runaround and procured several items of his own. Alejandra and Pancras returned, Alejandra quite a bit poorer and Pancras in her special outfit. Orendel and Milo made their way to their own hotel, laden down with maps and other such equipment. Zoltan bedded down on a bench in one of the city's parks. Tomorrow morning in front of the city hall, the group was to meet again. If only Zoltan had stuck around with everyone long enough to learn that.